1 Samuel 17, verse 15 says, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." Let me just say just for a minute that David was a young man. His older brothers were called to service. They were called to go fight in the war against the Philistines. And David went with them at first. And they found out that he was too young to be there, and they sent him back. David was anxious to go fight. I don't know if the brothers were, but David wanted to go. He tried to get out there and get signed up, but they sent him back. He was anxious to fight the Philistines, but he went back to feed his father's sheep. And verse 16 says, "And the Philistines drew near morning and evening," the Philistine, "and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." All David was supposed to do was go look to see what was going on. Verse 19 says, "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the battle, and shouted for the battle." Notice that David, when he got there, he came forth and he was excited about seeing the children of Israel, the fighting the Philistines, and he was excited to see his brothers and how they were doing. And he just knew that the children of Israel were taking the battle to them and laying it on the line, and he said he shouted for the battle. He couldn't contain himself. A person shouts because they're overcome on the inside, and they can't help it. There's a shout is different than a whisper. If you ever notice that, there's a difference between the two, and the Bible says he shouted for the battle. "For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came." It seemed like David was running everywhere. It seemed like David was excited. It seemed like he was fired up. I mean, he didn't walk. He was in a hurry to get somewhere. And the Bible says that left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. He had been practicing that salute, and he just knew exactly how he was going to do it. But he saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Sounds to me like David was kind of warped in his thinking. Seemed to me like he kind of wasn't taught that he was European. Seemed to me like he thought he was full-fledged patriot. Amen? He wasn't ashamed of his country. It seems to me like that just possibly that David had grown up under an administration that didn't apologize for what they were. Amen? And he was proud and he was happy to be a part of the nation that was recognized as the nation of the living God. Wasn't ashamed of that at all. Wasn't ashamed. Didn't hide from that title. He believed that his nation was the nation that served the true and living God. He wasn't tolerant of the gods of the Philistines. He didn't give any allegiance to them. He didn't have any respect for them. He didn't have any honor for them. He could care less about the gods of the Philistines. Boy, it wouldn't hurt as for us Americans to get a little bit of the attitude that we could care less about all the false gods of the world. Amen? Listen, hey, I'm not interested in them. I don't want to respect them. I don't want my children to grow up and respect false idols or false gods. I want them to know that that kind of stuff will lead you straight to hell. Listen, hey, you can say, well, we ought to be kind to the Mormons. Well, listen, Mormonism is a false religion, and it'll lead you straight to hell. You say, well, we ought to be respectful of Islam and the Muslims or the Muslims or whatever else you want to call it. We ought to want to be tolerant of them, respectful of them. No, listen, we ought to want to mark that stuff for what it is. It's heresy. It's false doctrine. It's right out of the devil. It'll lead you straight to hell. One day, when Caleb and Travis and Autumn weren't very old, one day we were at the DMV down in Taze Valley. This car went by playing this loud, crazy music, and man, just a terrible sound coming out of there. And I said, look at that, boys. I said, that music comes right straight out of hell. And Caleb or Bub one looked at me and said, no, it doesn't, Daddy. It's coming out of that car that just went by. And I said, you're right. Okay, I'll just be still. But listen, hey, that kind of stuff, that false doctrine like that, don't think for one minute that we ought to be tolerant of that kind of stuff. Listen, hey, that stuff's not right. There's one God, and His name is Jehovah God. Amen. Listen, hey, don't be ashamed of that. Don't grow up thinking that you got to respect all the other gods that are false. There's only one God. That's Jehovah God. Amen. I believe that's kind of the way David was brought up. He believed that. I mean, he didn't go out there saying, well, we need to be tolerant of the Philistines. They mean well. He wasn't interested in that kind of stuff. Amen. He was a full-fledged patriot and a believer in the true and living God of his nation. The Bible says David said, verse number 28, he says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Well, I like David's attitude toward his brother. He could care less about the fact that he was completely misunderstood. If you live your life caring about people misunderstanding you and worrying about what people think about you, you'll live a miserable life, really. You just got to come to the place where you got to know what's in your heart. You got to know how you feel. You got to know what you think. And you can't worry about what everybody else thinks about you all the time. Amen? That's called being political. Correct, and that's crazy, amen. You can't worry about that kind of stuff. David didn't care what his brother said. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? What was the cause? David said, there's a Philistine out there that's defying the armies of Israel. Oh, you understand what's happening here? Here's a young boy that the night before had been commissioned by his daddy to take some lunch to his brothers and see how the battle was. And apparently he was supposed to go and come back and tell his daddy. But when he got there, he ran into a cause that was so great that he couldn't go home. It was a cause so great that he couldn't stand still. It was a cause so great that he couldn't shut up. It was a cause so great that he had to do something about it. Boy, listen, wouldn't it be something if some of us had a cause like that in our crawl? Something that just we looked at what was going on in the world and just said, you know, I'm not going to just tolerate all this. I'm not going to just be a pacifist. I'm not going to just wait and sit around and say, well, you know, Jesus is coming again. We'll just go ahead and be still. We don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. We're just going to wait and be nice and kind and tolerant and love everybody. Open arms, open hearts, open minds. Fooey on that stuff, amen. That ain't in the Bible, amen. That's false doctrine too. David didn't have that attitude. He said, is there not a cause? Something needs to be done. He said, what have I now done? Verse 30, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. You see that? David told his brother, he said, hey, isn't there a cause? And then he turned around and he said, hey, isn't there a cause? And he turned around somebody else. He said, isn't there a cause? He said, don't you see what's going on here? He said, wake up, man. He said, don't you see that there's a problem and needs to be fixed? Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of problems in our country that need to be fixed. And what could fix them would be some young men like David. Some people with the attitude that David had. That they're not going to shut up. They're not going to sit still. Hey, listen, they're not going to be silenced. Well, you say, preacher, you're too loud. Man, listen, I hope when I'm 85 years old, I'm twice as loud as I am now. Amen? I want to be screeching for Jesus, and I don't want to be ashamed of Him. I don't want to walk around worrying about being PC all the time. I don't want to worry about, I hope they don't hear and know this and that. Friend, listen, I don't want that. I don't want any young man to be that way here. Amen. Listen, we ought not to be ashamed to speak up for Jesus. We oughtn't to be ashamed to let people know who we belong to. We oughtn't to be ashamed to identify with the old black book right here. Amen. I like this old King James Bible. I don't want to be ashamed of it. Amen. Listen, I don't want to just throw it aside and not regard it. I think it's mighty important that we stand for God. Boy, listen to me. Listen just for a few minutes. The Bible says that when David showed up, he shouted for the battle. Now, I want everybody, please, y'all put, I'm trying to be mean to you, but I want you to put your phones up because it really bothers me getting up and answering phones and stuff. And I mean, this not because it's me, but we got to have church here. Amen. Look here. Now listen, the Bible says that David shouted for the battle. He shouted for the battle. And when y'all preach, y'all can do it different than me. But until then, I'm going to preach. Amen. Psalm 47, the Bible says, turn there with me just for a minute, Christian. Psalm 47, look there with me just for a second. Psalm 47, look what the Bible says in verse number 1. Psalm 47, verse number 1, look what it says. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I know there's a few sports fans in here. And I know that when your team wins, you're not afraid to shout. I'm going to tell you, we as Christians, we need to get our shout back. Amen. We need not be ashamed to shout and lift up our voice and identify with truth. The word amen, amen means so be it. It means I stand where you stand. Amen. Boy, listen, anytime I ever heard the preacher preach the truth, I wanted to identify with the preacher. I don't know who gave me this ring today, man. Look at that. This is in my pocket, a ring. And that ring, boy, I don't know who. Somebody proposed to me, and I don't even know who it was. If it was you, tell me afterwards. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth. The Bible says in verse number 6, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Boy, listen. I want you to see that in the psalm that we read just a moment ago, when David showed up, he shouted. This shout was the shout of the glad and the willing servant. And David shouted not because he was bringing lunch, but because he was serving the King of Kings. I'm going to tell you, there's something to serving Jesus. Amen? Boy, listen, who else would you rather serve than Jesus? Hey, man, I'm glad tonight that I'm not a representative for the NFL. I'm glad I'm not a representative for the NBA or the NCAA or the NCAACP or the NICU. Amen. Travis was a representative for them for a while, the NICU, the NICU. But listen, hey, I'm glad tonight that I'm a representative of Jesus Christ. Hey, you have to forgive me. You can look at me crazy, think what you want to, but I'm glad God called me to preach. Boy, listen, the Bible says it's a good thing for a young man to desire the office of a bishop. Hey, I'd rather be a preacher than what I would to be anything else in all the world. There's nothing in the world wrong with a young boy coming to church and listening to the preacher and say, you know what, when I grow up, I hope God calls me to preach. Boy, I'd like to stand up there in the pulpit and preach the Word of God and yell at everybody and scream at everybody and jump around and stomp around and tell people about Jesus dying on the cross and that He shed His blood and that He was buried, and the old devil thought he had Him down and there was no hope for Him. But after 3 days, Jesus came forth out of the tomb. He arose and He lives, and someday He's coming to get us and we're going to go to live with Him forever, and someday He's coming back to put down the Antichrist. And boy, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. There's nothing in the world wrong. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the young girl saying, you know what, when I grow up, I hope God lets me marry a preacher.
Well, listen, you can aspire to marry a doctor or a lawyer or somebody with lots of money. Boy, listen, you hard find anybody with a lot more money than a preacher. I mean, listen, ask Miss Jessica. Hey, but I'm gonna tell you what, hey, there's nothing in the world wrong with saying, you know what, it'd be a good idea for our young girls just to want to grow up and marry men. That'd be a start, amen. Not some sissy, not some guy that won't work, not some guy that won't provide a living for him, not some guy that just wants everything easy and wants everything the easy way, friend. It'd be a good idea for us to have some young men that just said, I want to grow up and be a representative of what a man's supposed to be. Amen. I want to grow up and be a representative for what the Bible definition of manhood is. It's not about being a bully. It's not about showing people how tough you are. It's not about showing somebody how you can beat them up. Being a man, yeah, there's a whole lot more than that. I don't have time to preach about it. But listen, we ought to be representatives of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a preacher and you're saved, or whether you're a garbage man and you're a saved garbage man, or whether you're working and making hamburgers and french fries, or whether you're a boilermaker or an airplane pilot or work on them or whatever else you do, or you're laying block, and or whether you're working on cars or whether you're whatever else, friend, listen, whatever it is you do, hey, you do it as a servant of God. Folks ought to know, hey, that fellow right there, he belongs to Jesus. That fellow right there, he's a Christian. That fellow right there, that lady right there, they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. They got a good attitude. Hey, that person is a servant of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we're the salt of the earth. So that means if you're saved, you're the salt of the earth. We ought to be excited about being the servants of God. We ought to wake up every morning and say, you know what? I'm not worried about what happens today. I'm going to walk out into this world and I'm going to serve my Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, I had a friend that went to a public school as a young man, 14, 15 years of age, and his mom or dad, neither one of them went to church, but he was still a servant of God. He'd take gospel tracts from his church and go and pass them out at the public school and tell people about Jesus Christ. It's no wonder he's preaching the gospel today. It's a good thing for young boys and young girls and Christians of all ages to say, you know what? As long as I live in this old wicked world, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to gripe. I'm not going to fuss. I'm not going to bellyache. I'm just going to wake up and serve Jesus. And I'm going to serve him with a shout. I'm going to serve him gladly. I'm not going to pout through my life. I'm going to shout through my life. Amen. I'm going to rejoice in Jesus. Hey, it is a good thing to be saved. It is a good thing to have your sins forgiven. It is a good thing to have a home in heaven. Amen. Next point. Quiet. Calm down now. Calm down. He had the shout of a citizen of a country that was sustained by the true and living God. Let's see. Let's see if I've got a dollar bill in here. Boys, anybody... Can you guys read? Amen. Can you guys read? I don't want to give you that 20. You'll think something that ain't right. Man, listen. Somebody come up here and when you guys come up here to read. Caleb, when you guys come up here to read. Come on. Let's take turns here. Let's see. All right. Can you read that line right there one at a time? Can you read that line right there? Can you read what that says?
It's God we trust.
God we trust. What's that say right there?
In God we trust.
Okay. What does that say right there?
In God we trust.
Can you read that? What does that say right there?
In God we trust.
I wonder what that means. Anybody know what that means? Anybody want to guess what that means? That means we trust in God. You know what that is? That's on the currency of the bills of the United States of America. It doesn't say in Buddha we trust. It doesn't say in Joseph Smith we trust, or in Allah we trust, or in the homosexual reprobate fag we trust. It says in God we trust. It doesn't say in education we trust. It doesn't say in college degree we trust. It doesn't say in any of those things. It says in God we trust. Boy, listen, I want to tell you, David, he was not ashamed of his God. Psalm 44 verse 7 says, "But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and has put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever." Boy, listen, hey, you know, I can't help what all America's like. But I tell you what, as an American citizen, when I salute the flag, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Boy, listen, you can mess around if you want to, and you can go along with that crowd that wants to take under God out, but I believe she ought to be in there, amen? And if they decide, if the Supreme Court decides to take it out, I'm going to be like my president and defy the Supreme Court anyway, amen? Listen, hey, I'm not going to go along with that kind of stuff. Friend, listen, I'm an American. I've had folks say to me, they say, well, you ought to not fly that flag in the church. You ought to take that American flag down. Friend, listen, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to fly my flag. That flag, that ain't the flag of the Sodomite. That's the flag of the Christian. It was Christianity that made that flag stand high. Listen, friend, hey, it's not the liberals that made that flag stand high. It's those young men and those praying mamas and praying daddies that loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and they rebelled against the throne in England, and they rebelled against the organized religion over there, and they rebelled against the Pope when they came to America, to these shores. They came to the shores of this country, the United States of America, and they gave their lives and their fortunes, and they pledged their all to raise up in this country a nation that was one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I still believe tonight that America is a Christian nation. And you can say, but it's not a Christian nation. I know there's a lot of wickedness in our country, but friend, you go to Europe and see what you got. You go to France and see what you got. You go to Asia and see what you got. You're going to be hard-pressed to find any nation where there are more preachers than the United States of America. As I preach right now, there's some other preachers in this country that are not afraid to stand up in the pulpit and preach the Word of God and spit and slobber and beat on the pulpit and say, hey friend, there's one Savior. His name is Jesus. There's one way of salvation. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Friend, thank God for a country like America. I'm glad for the USA. I'm glad for this nation. I'm glad that you can find in the walls of Congress, you can find the etchings about the God that we serve. Amen. You can find there, listen, there's still the Ten Commandments is still put up in some places. There's some liberals and God haters that want to get it taken down. There's some that want to get God taken out. But friend, listen, I believe as long as we Christians would get our shout back and not be afraid to stand up and let folks know who we belong to and serve, I think we could preserve a little bit of Christianity in this country. I believe America is supposed to be a lighthouse of Christianity. I believe that the God of heaven situated this nation, this continent, in between the Pacific Ocean and in between the Atlantic Ocean. And I believe it so that the gospel could go out across the Pacific to Japan and the Philippine Islands and those nations in the Pacific Isles. And I believe that that's what God has done in America. I believe that God situated us on the coast of the Atlantic so that as the gospel came here, now the gospel goes from here back to there and throughout Bulgaria and Turkey and even in Iran and in Afghanistan and those countries, the Middle Eastern countries. Thank God for America. This nation sends out more missionaries than any other nation. You can badmouth America if you want to. You can elect a president to run around and condemn the country and apologize for what we stand for and say this is not a Christian nation. This is not a Buddhist nation. It's not a Muslim nation. It's not a secular nation. It is a Christian nation. And I'm going to lift my Bible up and preach it to the day I die. God bless the USA. That's the kind of shout David had. He wasn't raised in a home. His daddy, Jesse, wasn't some compromising, sympathetic, liberal-loving goofball. His daddy was a daddy that said, son, our God is the one that takes care of us. That's why when David was out there in the field and the lion and the bear come, David wasn't afraid to stand up. Why? Because his daddy at home had taught him that God would help him take care of them sheep. Amen. So it wasn't hard for David to grow up and be a man that when he had to go to battle, he first knelt down and prayed. They can say what they want to, but the founding fathers of our country, when they began to write the Constitution of our country, you can say they was lost or whatever, but they had enough sense. One of them said, no nation shall rise without it first falling to its knees and praying. And the founding fathers knelt and prayed and asked God to help them to form a nation on this continent. And God did. We need some Christian history once again. We need some God-fearing preachers once again to stand up and ring the liberty bell, amen, and proclaim liberty in the land and let folks know that the freeness of this country is all based on the blood of Jesus Christ and the fact that He said to know the truth, and the truth is what allows us to have our freedom tonight. Thank God for the truth of God's Word. The founding fathers come to this country also. Way back before the founding fathers came, the pilgrims came here because they were searching for a place where they could raise their children and teach them this book right here, the English version of the Bible, the King James version that God so providentially allowed, ordered to be printed in their language in 1607 and 1611. And soon after that, they jumped on ships and sailed to Holland. But Holland wasn't the place of freedom they were searching for. And eventually God brought them to Plymouth Rock and to this country and on this continent. And God allowed those people. This country was founded on this book right here. The first building that was built in the early colonies in this country was a church building. And they would build around the church building. And they would build their homes around that. And their lives were centered around the homes, around the church. I have an 1865 McGuffey reader, and you can't go every other page. There's a reference from the King James Bible in there, and that was the book that was used in the schools to teach the boys and girls. And today we got liberals saying that the Bible doesn't belong there. In Florida, one school district in Florida this past year, there's a one day set aside that was Bible Day, and the Gideons would come in, and it was History Day and Bible Day, something other, and they ruled that the Gideons, that the Bible didn't have a place in history. In this country, it didn't belong, and so they wouldn't allow the Bible to be given out in the schools in Florida. God help a bunch of reprobates like that, and Christian people, God's people, ought to stand up against that kind of stuff. Anyway, next point. In God we trust. We're to teach our children that this is a Christian nation. Listen, we're to teach our boys and girls to equate the flag with the God who birthed us. The red stands for the blood that He shed. The white for the purity of the sinless Savior. And the blue for the royalty of the King of Kings that left heaven and was born in lowly manger and shed His blood for us. You see, David was one who was not afraid to shout. He had the shout of a willing servant. He had the shout of a one who believed that his country was sustained by the true and living God. He had the shout of a boy that was willing to stand and identify before he learned of the men who had cowered in defeat. You know, a lot of times people will stand if somebody else is standing. Caleb, what people do is they'll look around to see if anybody else is going to stand for Jesus. And if somebody else stands, they'll think about standing. They'll look around, Tommy, in colleges and schools and say, well, if anybody else is going to stand, then I'll stand. But that kind of attitude won't get anywhere. There needs to be an attitude of young men, young people of all ages, where you don't go to work and say, well, if anybody else stands up for Jesus, then I'll say something. But if not, I'll just keep silent. That won't work. We'll lose our country with that kind of attitude. We need to have the attitude that we're going to walk in the building and we're going to be the ones that lets people know whose side we're on. Amen? We're going to be the one that lets people know who we serve. You see, there's too much television watching going on in America. Folks would just soon sit down and watch television. Say, preacher, how do you always get to that? Because I can see, when I look at the eyes of dead people, I know it's because they've been amused to death by the stinking rotten television. Wouldn't be a bad idea just to toss it out, I reckon, if we can't be stirred by the truth. We're losing our country. We're losing our churches. It's hard. You're hard-pressed to find what church really is. You know, it's Easter Sunday. You know, this week I had people say to me, yeah, I might be there. I'll try. I think I'll make it. People that are always in church, I mean, just the attitude is like, it's like, well, you know, if it's convenient. Since when did we ever get the attitude that we'd tell God what to do? Amen? Boy, listen. We need to realize this thing hangs in the balance, church. I mean, listen. Hey, I'm not sure how much more this country can take. Man, we've got people profess to be Christians still supporting the garbage that's going on in this country. When the ballots come out, they'll vote for the same old garbage. Just keep on keeping on. You say, well, the alternatives are not very bad. The alternative is for us to stand up for Jesus. Stand up, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. That's the alternative. To quit looking around to see if anybody else is going to stand. Why don't you just stand? Why don't you stand up for Jesus? Why don't you speak up? You say, preacher, what would happen if I would? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's contagious. You see, the Bible says that David shouted for the battle. When he got there, basically the other guys were all cowering. They were afraid. They had pretty much given up. They said, there's no hope, nothing we can do. But one young boy with a basket of lunch showed up, full of excitement and vigor. And he wouldn't allow his belief in God to be watered down by those who had given up. He wouldn't allow even his own brothers and family members to squelch his desire to see something done. And so David followed through, trusting God, and went down into that valley and fought that giant. And it wasn't much of a fight at all, because God used David, that little boy, to defeat that giant, lickety-split, just like that. Well, then what happened? Look what the Bible says, and I'll be done. You can go home and do whatever it is. The Bible says in chapter 17, verse number 51, verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. You see, David wasn't very tolerant. I reckon not. Say, well, he should have had a little more pacifistic nature. I reckon he had none of it. Amen. He didn't even hesitate and think about it. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Boy, I wish we had some Christian champion slayers. I wish we had some Christians that were not afraid to stand alone and defeat the Goliath. Say, preacher, there's no hope. There's more of them than they are of us. It doesn't matter. If we just defeat their champions, we're scared to death of the great minds. I tell you, this nut job that promotes evolution, Dawkins. You ever heard of Dawkins, that nut? You ever heard of that guy? I mean, he's the great mind. I'd love to talk to him. So what would you say to him? I'd probably smack him in the jaw at first. And then I mean, this ain't no talk. Hey, we oughtn't be afraid of that kind of stuff. See, but preacher, he's trained. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. See, yeah, but he's intelligent. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. One day years ago, back in some little village church, there was an atheist came in and he said, I want to prove to all of you people that it's all foolishness. You're wasting your time. Forget about this. Let's be progressive seculars and let's go on forward and get out of this God mentality. And he began to one by one befuddle the preachers in the town and confuse the people and the churches. But he began gathering together and the people. And one day, there was an old farmer that was a God-loving farmer. He was a bold, fearless farmer for Jesus. Amen. He walked into that meeting with his old overalls on, and he walked in, sat down, listened to that fella talk and spew on about his education using big words. And finally at the end, he walked forward and he said to the fella that was there, he said, I'll prove you're wrong. He said, I'll prove that you're a fool and you don't know what you're talking about. He said, how are you going to do it? Real condescending, like, looked down at the old farmer. He said, with this orange right here, I'll prove that you're a fool. So he shouldn't call him by a fool. The Bible, if the God calls a man a fool, I'll call him a fool. Amen. The Bible said the fool said in his heart, there's no God. So old fella pulled the orange out and he began to peel the orange. Stuck his long, dirty fingernail down in there and pulled that orange peel back and one by one. And the fella was getting patient. He said, I thought you were going to prove something to me. He said, hold on a minute, son. He said, I'm not done yet. And he peeled that orange back and
put a slice of that in his mouth and chewed it up and said, boy, it's good. Continued to eat it. And he said, I thought you was going to prove something. He looked at him and he said, this sure is a good orange. He said, can you tell me what this orange tastes like? He said, why no? He said, I'm not the fool eating it. You are. He said, no, you're the foolish one. He said, see, you don't know anything about this orange because I'm the one eating it. And he said, you're up here talking about Jesus and about God and about the Bible. And my Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he said, you're talking about something you've never tasted. He said, if you would ever accept Christ your Savior, realize you're a sinner on your way to hell and get saved and get born again. He said, you'd know how wonderful Jesus is. He said, if you would just do what the Bible says, taste and see. Boy, the old atheist just turned and walked away. And the fellow stood up there and he said, folks, he said, get back in your church. Get back with God. He said, don't be fallen prey to this foolishness. Education, we oughtn't to be intimidated by that. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory. Friend, listen, America is a Christian nation. It's not a pagan country. It's not a homosexual country. It's not a sodomite lesbian country. It's a Christian country. It's a country where little boys grow up and be men. And where little girls grow up and be ladies. And they marry one another and raise families and work and love and go to church and worship Jesus and pray and teach their grandchildren to do the same thing. That's the kind of country I believe this is. Say, preacher, you're looking at it through rose-colored glasses, though. I'm looking at it through what it would be if we Christians just get our shout back. David wasn't afraid to shout. And the Bible says, and when he defeated the champion, the people fled. And verse 52 says, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and... what's the next word? Huh. Sounds to me like that shouting was contagious. Sounds to me like that fire and that zeal that David showed up with that day. Sounds to me like it was contagious. It passed on to some other people. Amen. The Bible says the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the Bible says, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God didn't intend for the church to be pacifist. He intended for us to be on the offense. Amen. Not hell knocking at our gates, but us knocking at their gates. The Bible says the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. And but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. He's nobody. But he stood for Jesus. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. David wasn't going to let go of that head, amen? He's just still holding on to it, man. He was proud of what God had done. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered humbly, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Boy, there's something missing in our modern Christianity. We've got the wrong heroes in our homes. Y'all only know, these young guys don't know who Britney Spears is, but Britney Spears for too long was a hero in the homes. See, Hollywood sets the fashions. Immodesty's been thrown out the windows. Girls want to look like the garbage in Hollywood nowadays. God said to be modest. Nothing wrong with modesty. I'm glad I got a wife that's not ashamed to be modest. I think she's beautiful. I'm glad my mom back there, for the most part, is modest. I'm just teasing. I'm glad I got a mom that's not trying to keep up with Hollywood. I'm glad I go to a church with ladies that are not ashamed to identify as what people would look at and say, are you a Christian? Well, how did you know? Well, you're not half naked, and that just gets kind of tips you off. That's pretty much the way the world is today. You got a nice attitude. You got a smile on your face instead of that poochy lip. I'm a model. You ever seen them? That foolish attitude. So I got to have a Hollywood figure. My mama didn't. My papa was mean sometime. My mama was bigger than him, and that's the only thing kept her alive. She beat the tar out of him. He'd come in drunk and wanted to whip her and wanted to beat her. And probably God saved her because she wasn't no Hollywood petite. She's a big lady. She whipped him. She took a frying pan to him. You see, there's a difference. We need some young men like these fellas sitting right here in the front row who, when they come to church, they'll carry their Bibles with them. When they sit in their Sunday school class, they listen to the teacher. They're not trying to be the wise guy, not trying to be the funny guy, but they're listening to see what the teacher says. They want to learn what the Bible teaches. Some young girls who are not ashamed to come to church and listen to their Sunday school teacher and learn what's being taught. And go home and let folks know what the Bible says. And you're not trying to keep up and worry about what's going on in the world, but you want to stand for Jesus. That's all. We've lost our shout. We've got a lot of pouting Christians. Very few shouting Christians. We need to get our shout back. That excitement back. That fervor, that confidence, that belief, that assurance. Whatever happens, God is in control. God is still on the throne. I had a preacher in my life, and Brother Jack Howes, who I thank God for him. And I listened to his tapes, and he preached a sermon one time called God is Still on the Throne. I remember the morning he had heart surgery and the news came that he wasn't going to live. And boy, I was surprised. And I'll be honest with you, I was kind of sad. But I remember I went out by the church and where he pastored, and I sat there in my car and I played that tape, God is Still on the Throne. And the same God that he served is the same God that I serve. And the God, as Brother McDermott said a minute ago, the God of the Apostle Paul, he's my God also. When Jesus left this earth, he said, greater things than these will you do because I go to the Father. I wonder where our boys and girls, young people, teenage girls, teenage boys that want to stand for Jesus. If they don't come from churches like this, we may as well give up. Dear Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Dear God, bless these young people that are here. Church people, Father. There's not a one of them too old to stand for Jesus. There's not one of them that's too worn out but what they couldn't get a retread and determined to get inflated and not be proud and haughty, but to stand as humble servants of God and if needs be, die for Jesus. Not be ashamed to stand. God, I pray you give us your power on our life, the Holy Ghost anointing on our lives, that we could stand for Jesus and be a testimony to others. Lord, help me, I pray, and help each one here that would have that in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand with me tonight? I wonder who would come, kneel at the altar, and you'd say to God, God, I want to be a testimony. I want to be a living testimony for you, Lord. I don't want to be ashamed of you. I want to be a testimony for Jesus. Would you come? Anybody want to come and pray? You say, God, wherever it is, whatever place I work and where I'm in school, my friends, my family, I'm not wanting to be arrogant. I'm not wanting to be mean or nasty, but I want to be a testimony for Jesus. There is a cause. I believe there's a cause. And I want to be sure to stand for Jesus and not be ashamed to let people know whose side I'm on. If you want to come, you come. Nothing wrong in the world with coming and kneeling at the altar and praying and asking God to work in your heart.